Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. The word of truth that you are about to hear is from Apostle Will T. Washington. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website at 3cla.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved under God, Yahweh, a workman, needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
Well, we'd like to thank those who are joining us on iChurch in English and in Spanish. Thank you all for joining us. Hopefully we can say something that will bless you today. You know, I woke up yesterday morning. Who have something that they can clean my glasses with? Whatever, anybody. Just find somebody. Oh, mother. I woke up this morning. Actually, I woke up Saturday morning with the thought that there are so many people, and especially so many children, that are starving today. And I thought about not only those all over the world, in Yemen, and Syria, and all of these places that is so far away. But then God brought to my mind the people who are on our southern borders, who have left their homes and brought their children with them, and through all of this danger and peril that they have endured, to try to find a place of safety. And I thought how our government, how we are talking about them. These people are not animals. They're human beings. And I am smart enough to know that no country can take in an innumerable number of immigrants. It's simply not possible. But there has to be a more humane way to treat people. And I thought about it on this day because we are here at the day that we say that Yeshua was born. And Yeshua came to bring love and peace. And surely we are not, our government and many of those in the so-called Christian conservative faith are not living up to that mantra that Yeshua is love. And those that say they are his must always be people of love. Yohanan would say, if a man says that he loves God and hate his brother, he's a liar, and he does not know how to tell the truth. So as we are enjoying this festive time, let's not forget those that are starving to death, those who are in peril. And surely our government is responsible for some of the governments that are in place in the Americas. And we have to shoulder that responsibility. I remember a number of months ago, they were having an election in Honduras. There was a number of Republican senators that went down to stop stop the person who should have won from winning that election. And now in Honduras, we have a crisis of gangs, and people are fleeing to save their daughters from rape, to save their sons from being bought into these gangs. And we should have some compassion for that. But I know the world don't care. And maybe they are not supposed to care because they don't have the heart of God. But those who claim to be believers, who claim to be Christians, should care. So I wanted to start it out with that. You know, we're rejoicing and we are having a great time and we are giving presents. But there are so many people that are suffering today. And our hearts go out to them. And your heart should go out to them. And your prayers should go out to them. My prayer this week and this morning was, Father, help those in all the different lands, the children that are starving. Provide in some miraculous way something for them to eat. Very simple. Most of us going to throw away more food than we eat. I know I do. So today we want to start out, and I'm going to read to you several scriptures, and then I will basically exegete these scriptures just to shine a light on why we are here and what God did to bring us here. So I want us to look at Yeshayahu. You would call him Isaiah, but I will call him by his real name. 7th chapter, verse 14. Therefore, Yahweh himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Immanuel. I know it says Emmanuel, that's not correct. Immanuel, and I'll tell you a few minutes why. This scripture comes out of just nowhere. The prophet Yeshayahu was talking to Ahab about what had occurred in Israel. He had married a woman called Isabel. We call her Jezebel, but there's no J in the Hebrew language, so it was actually the correct pronunciation is Isabel. And Isabel was a prophet of Baal. And Ahab had married her. Ahab was a descendant of David. And she had caused the prophets of that time, most of them, to be killed. And she had built temples to Baal. And Israel was in the darkest hour of their time. So the prophet Yeshayahu went to Ahab and said to Ahab, Yahweh said, ask him a sign. It can be from the deepest hidden things or the highest things, but ask him a sign and he will give it to you. The idea was, you seem to be doubting that Yahweh is God. So he said, ask him a sign and he will do it for you. But Ahaz said, I will not ask for a sign. You see, some people don't want to know the truth. Because if they know the truth, they're obligated to act upon it. So Ahaz said, I'm not going to ask the sign of Yahweh. And so Yavaset unto him, then I'll give you a sign anyway. He said, therefore Yahweh himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Immanuel, which being interpreted, Ima means with, Nu means us, El means God. So this boy, this baby would be God with us. And so the prophet said in this sign that a virgin will conceive and bear a son. It is important for us to believe that Miriam, who we call Mary, was a virgin. She was a pregnant virgin. And that can be hard for some people to accept. Because we look at things altogether from the natural. She cannot be pregnant if she have not indulged in some type of intimate activity. But we fail to realize that God created us from nothing. And surely he knows how to make a woman pregnant. And now I'm going to read to you from the book of Dr. Luke, the second chapter. You know, we explore these things that we might have an answer for those. The second chapter. And we will start at verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And then there's an information part. You see the parenthesis there? The parenthesis means this is not in the text. It is added to the text by the translator so he can explain, maybe try to explain why. And so the text said it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And here's the information of the translator. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. That's just an addition. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Yehuda, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was, and here's another addition, informational addition, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Let me try to explain. Everybody went to be taxed to the area of their origin. And if you were of the lineage of David, which we call David, you would have to go to Bethlehem, or really to the city of David. I talked to you all a few weeks ago about the temple and how it sat above. It wasn't there in the city of Jerusalem, but it was in the city of David, above the city of David. And this is what this is talking about. This was the city that David the king set up, and this is where he lived, and this is where all of his descendants went to be taxed with Miriam, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there were no room in the inn. And so I said that we must believe that Yeshua was born of a virgin. But also Yeshua was born in a stable where animals were. And the word manger means feeding trough. And so if you have that back there, I would like to show you that. What I'm trying to do is communicate. You know, this has been all dressed up like this was a sterile place and everything was beautiful in there. But this was actually a stable where the animals were. And if you have ever been around animals, you know what it smells like. Yeshua could have been born in a castle. He could have been born in a palatial place. But he chose, God chose to be born in a stable. This is the manger. That is where his mother laid him. Now let's see if we can find the stable. The stables was under the house. And back here in this dark, unventilated place where they kept their animals was where Yeshua was born because there was no room for him in the inn. God could have made room for him, but he wanted us to know God is not a God of the rich, nor is he a God of the famous. God was born with the poor. And my text today is the birth of God. I know that sounds kind of funny, but the birth of God. He was born less than those who were poor. And it said that his mother wrapped him in swaddling clothing. And if you look up that word, it would go spaganu rage, and it would mean rags. But of course, it wasn't rags. It was material, strips, long strips of material that they wrapped their babies in to keep them straight. You know, we let our babies be, and we put them in blankets. But I spent some time in Greece, and my good friend Stamati, him and his wife just had a baby. And I think we lived in Kalamiki. And he showed me his baby, and they had wrapped that baby in what is called swaddling clothes. They wrapped that baby that baby could not move. And I asked him, why do you do that? He said, we want him to grow up straight. We keep his limbs straight so that he'll grow up straight. And so she placed him in a feeding trough where the animals ate. there was, again I say, no room for him. And today in many churches throughout the nation, there is no room for Yeshua. They worship a Savior, a name that has never been named in all of creation. Nobody knows where the name Jesus came from. So I can understand why these evangelical conservatives could be so evil that they would vote for evil people and treat folks like dirt because they serve a Savior who do not exist. Oh, I know I'll get a little flack, but you all know I'm flack proof. Y'all know me. Why did Yahweh choose to come this way? Wouldn't it have been more dynamic if he had been in this castle and stepped out on the balcony and said, "Behold, God is born"? But there with the stench of the animals, his mother brought him forth and laid him in a feeding trough that the animals fed from. Why? Why this way? Let's look at 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, the 20th verse. We'll end with joy, but first we got to know what the pain was. Verse 21. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For in Adam all died, even so in Mashiach all shall all be made alive. He was born this way because there needed to be a cooperation between man and God in order to redeem man. Let me see if I can explain that. Adam was the God of this world. Adam was not a normal man. He was a man, of course, but he was a spirit man. No, his body was real. But Adam did not operate out of his mind, out of his soul. His soul and his mind was not developed. He operated strictly out of his spirit to God. And so him and God had a relationship, not messed up by crooked thinking that man had. But because God gave him the dominion of the earth, and he obeyed Satan, and that meant he gave Satan a trust deed to the earth he owned, man had to participate in taking it back. And so God wrapped himself in human flesh as a little bitty baby, took off his prerogative of power and glory, and became a man. What a mighty God we serve, who would step down from his throne on high and place himself in the confines of human flesh and become a baby, meaning he gave up his power or set aside his power for a time that he might allow himself and man to come back into union once again, that he might redeem the world that Satan owns. You say, well, he hasn't taken it back yet? No, but he's in the process. See, 1,000 years with God is as one day. We get upset about the years that pass, but God is timeless. He has been here from eternity. He has no beginning. He has no ending. And so his time is not measured in hours and minutes and days. And so the writer would say 1,000 years with Yahweh is as one day, and one day as 1,000 years. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What a God we serve. Yes, yes, yes. You say, well, what's going to happen? We died and people are dying and going to hell while we're waiting on God. Well, if I died today, I wouldn't go to hell. I'd go directly where Yeshua is. Hallelujah. If you want to wait until judgment day, that's your business. I got my business straight a long time ago. And I made sure I kept it straight. Huh? So that's one of the reasons that he came in human flesh. Secondly, he needed to know something. You may say God needs to know something. God knows everything. But God cannot feel like we feel. He's beyond that. But he needed to know how we feel. How can you have mercy on somebody when you don't know how they feel and what they are going through? You would say they ought to know better. But you don't know what I was feeling. But I said, order, just go on and go with God. But you say, but you didn't know how I was feeling. You wasn't in my skin. How can you judge me when you didn't know what I was feeling? What condition I was in and how my mind was working. Somebody said it's got to be fair. If God is anything, he's just. Ephraim 4. You call him Hebrew, you call it Hebrews. I'm not going to keep you here all day. Just most of the day. And we read this scripture a great deal, and you'll recognize that. Seeing then, the 14th verse, that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Yeshua, the son of Yahweh, let us hold fast our profession. That's easy to say. We say to people, hold on. Right? Just hold on. But some people say, I'm just hanging on by my fingernail. But you ought to give people a reason for holding on. Why, God, do you say to me, hold on? For we, 15 verse, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched. God would not know how we feel. He's God. He's beyond our feeling. But because he came in human flesh, he can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Infirmities mean weaknesses. We all have weaknesses. Your weakness might not be my weakness. And my weakness might not be your weakness, but we all have weakness. And if you know how to get at me, you could probably bring me down if you know my weakness. But God knows your weakness. And that means he know how to secure you. Hallelujah. Because he goes right there to the weakest point and builds that up.
That's right.
Because he know how you're feeling. With the feelings of our infirmity. But was in all points tempted like as we are. See, even though he didn't go through the specific things you are going through, but he went through the temptation. And because he's God, now he knows everybody's temptation. Because he was tempted, then that means he has been tempted in every way that you are being tempted. Oh God, this little bitty baby, God in human flesh, came down to know how you feel, what you went through, what you go through. Because he wanted to be able to be touched by you. Because he knows how you feel. Somebody ought to say, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I would have been gone a long time ago if he didn't know how I feel, if he didn't know my weakness. I've been tempted many times, but God knows where to strengthen me, to build me up so I can stand. Sometimes I didn't even want to stand. I wanted to go that way. But God knows my weaknesses. He knows my infirmity. And he built it up. One time, I just bust out crying. Bert said, what's the matter with you? Come on, let's go. Thank God. He knows how to secure you. So you look at me, you say, oh, wait, he did. I've been tempted just like you. And sometimes I want it to do it. I'm not saying I wanted to do it because I wanted it. I wanted to do it because I was tempted. My strength, it had came to the length of my strength. Then I didn't have no more strength in that area to give. Somebody said I was vulnerable. You better believe I was vulnerable. But God stepped in. The Holy Ghost stepped in. And tears ran down my face. I cried like a baby. God knows. He knows my infirmities. And I'm here today. Hallelujah. I'm not perfect. I'm not beyond temptation. But I'm still here today. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need. Somebody ought to say, praise God. Praise God. Even in my weakness, I can come boldly to the throne of grace, looking and seeking for mercy and grace to help me. Somebody say, God, help me. God, help me. In my time of need. Hallelujah. Glory to God. For this little baby was more than we think. Look at Yahoo 9. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Just a moment. This might be popping because of me or the devil. See, he won't stop me because I'm getting down into it now. I'm in it down there where the rubber meets the road. I'm down at the nitty gritty. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. This little bitty baby born there in the city of David in Bethlehem would be the head, and really was at that time, the head of God's government. We have human government, but God one day is going to set up his government. And this little bitty baby that was born in this time would be the head of God's government. And his name shall be called. Now, when we see this, as we saw it in Yeshayahu, says his name shall be called Immanuel. That doesn't mean that would be his proper name. Immanuel meant only God with us. People would come to the understanding that that little baby was God with us. Here is the same idea. This is not his proper name, but this would be one of the attributes of his name. Name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. That if you follow him, that if you let yourself be led by him, you will never enter in a place of destruction. You will always get through okay. He will take you through the valley of Baca, where there's nothing but desert, and make it a living stream. Because you stayed with him. You took his counsel. He's a wonderful counselor. He's a marvelous. That word means marvelous counselor. Hallelujah. If you stay with his counsel, you can't go wrong. Hallelujah. The mighty God. El Gibor. The God of provision. unfailing power. This little bitty baby was the mighty God, the God of prevailing power, the God of overwhelming strength. The mighty God. The everlasting Father. Aviad. Aviad in Hebrew means my Father forever. This little bitty baby would be my Father forever. Somebody say, praise God. Praise God. He's my Father forever. Hallelujah. The Prince of Peace. Sa Shalom. He would be the owner of peace, the ruler of peace. And the only way you'll ever have peace is in him. He's the ruler of peace. There is no one on earth that has peace for you. There's no one that can give you peace. Mama can't give you peace. Daddy can't give you peace. Your wife can't give you peace. Your husband can't give you peace. Your children can't give you peace. Peace belongs to him. He's the prince, the ruler, the king of priests, of peace. People are looking and searching for some kind of peace, some kind of satisfaction. And they never can find it because they're going to the wrong place looking for it. Some people go to bars looking for peace. Look, I know what you're going through because I've been tempted at every point like you are. Some people went to bars looking for peace. Some people went to the whorehouse looking for peace. Huh? Some people went to the dance hall looking for peace. Some people went to the crack house looking for peace. Some people bought marijuana looking for peace. But they found none. Because there is no peace outside of him. And he is this because, look at Netanyahu. Netanyahu, the first chapter. I'm winding down. But since you don't have no night service, give me some time. I'm going to give you the night. You give me a few more minutes. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise God. Praise God. Then Yosef, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Yosef didn't understand. He thought she had cheated on him, even though she was a spouse to him. But he was such a good man, he didn't want to make her a public example. He didn't want to ruin her reputation. So he thought about just kind of, you know, saying, hey, it's over. I ain't going to say nothing. I'm going to just go on down to Yehuda. You stay here in Galilee. But while he thought on these things, While he was trying to figure out what he wanted to do, behold, the angel of Yahweh appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Yosef, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Miriam thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Yeshua, for he shall save his people from their sin. Yeshua meant he will save, or Yahweh will save. Actually, translate the name. Jesus don't mean nothing. And I'm not trying to be funny. There's just no, there is no meaning in the Hebrew faith. And there's no meaning anywhere. Nobody's ever been named Jesus. Luke 2, and then I'm finished. And suddenly, somebody say, suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising Yahweh. Suddenly, after this baby was born, there was with the angels of Yahweh all of the heavenly host, and they were praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward man. And we ought to be praising him. Follow me. Glory to God in the highest.
Glory to God in the highest.
And peace on earth.
And peace on earth.
And goodwill.
And goodwill.
Toward men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh. Hallelujah. So today, it's not necessarily the day of his birth, but he was born. And that is the day that all of this came to pass. So as we, this season, celebrate with our families, let's remember that Yahweh gave the ultimate sacrifice. He gave the ultimate gift to man. Yeshua, his son, to come into the earth and to suffer the same things you suffer, that he might know your feelings. And whatever you're going through, one thing you should remember is that God knows your feeling. We used to sing an old song, God knows about all of my trouble. He knows what I'm going through. And he's able, because he knows, to secure you, to help you, to strengthen you in the areas that you are lacking, that he might give you victory in the end. And Father Yahweh, we thank you for this day, the day that you took off your glory and power, came in the form of a child, in the flesh of a child, that you might identify with us in our infirmities. We thank you for that. We glorify you for that. We give you glory for that. For without you doing that, we would be such a miserable people with no hope in the world. But because of Yeshua, we have hope. And we thank you. In Yeshua, HaMashiach's mighty name. Amen. Keep your head bowed. There may be someone here today.